Well, thank you, Ken and Angela, for sharing with us this morning. Take your Bible and go to Matthew 18. My wife sits in the choir, and we do not have a ministry to deaf, but she does sign during some of my preaching, and just to me every now and then. But it's always good to have somebody to keep you on a straight and narrow that has got that gift. So thank God. What a joy it is to come and be back in this place, Mr. President. Thank you. And you have to say that twice these days, Mr. President. And thank you, Paige, for letting me come and be here in this place. I got here yesterday afternoon kind of late. One of your new students picked me up, he and his sweet wife, and took care of me and brought me back after dinner, and I checked in. And then I just walked around the campus for a little while. Well, what a great spirit I sense in this place. Then I went over to the library. Went up on the third floor, PhD Carol. Wasn't a soul there, but I went up and looked around. I found two things in the library. Number one, it is expected that you do not reshelve your books. I was told that when I unshelved some books, all right? And then I found some old dusty, I don't know, like anybody read these things in years. Four dusty notebooks down on a bottom shelf. And they were entitled Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in the News. And so I picked one up from 1989, 10 years ago. As I leafed through it, I found in 89, the report was we had 76 new students on campus. Oh, a day of turmoil and hurt. And this semester, over 600 new additions to the Southeastern family. Some people had buried this place. It's dead and gone. Well, thank God the naysayers were wrong and Jehovah reigns. Amen. What a great place to come and be here with you today. So I want to go to Matthew 18. I struggled this morning because I came with a message prepared from Amos 2 and verse 13 entitled, An Overweight Seminary Student. Honest to the Lord, that's what I was going to preach on. Has nothing to do with your physical weight, but that'll have to wait for another day. I just believe I'm to go to Matthew 18 this morning, and with Jesus, our master teacher, he is in seminary class, and here he is, that peerless professor, giving a word to the learners gathered around him, and he's in a Q&A session. And we pick up the text in Matthew 18, verse 1. You follow along, because this now is the word of God. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a child to himself and set him before them and said, Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it is better for him that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depth of the sea. You're going to hear a lot in days to come about academics. But I'm here today to talk to you about attitude. There will be many that will challenge you, and you need to get your axe, your hoe, razor sharp as they prepare you in scholarship. Because the world today needs bright minds that can expose the Word of God to the world and expose the world to the Word of God. But I'm not here to talk to you today about being a scholarly man. I am here to talk to you about being a Spirit-filled man. I want to talk to you about your attitude and your spirit. Now, don't neglect your scholarship and don't neglect your academics. You must stay sharp there. For not only does the world need that, we have a church today that is filled with illiterates. And they need you to come help them mentally, but they need more than your mind. They need your heart. And so today I want to have you answer this question that the disciples asked the Lord: who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus then used an object lesson when he called a little child, and the Bible says he sat the child there in the midst of them and began to talk about being childlike. Maybe you've heard the story of the lady with 8 children that got on a bus. The man, seeing that, looked at her and said, "Are these your children, and are you on a picnic?" To which she said, "They are my kids, and this is no picnic." Kids are wonderful, especially children. They teach us great, great, great things. Now, they can be a challenge because they do ask pointed questions. I came walking across the campus this morning, and there were 3 kids there with someone taking care of them, I guess, for daycare. And as I started up, the little girl, she couldn't have been over 3, she said, "Here comes another one." And she ran across the walkway. I walked by and someone else came and she yelled again, "Here comes another one!" And she ran back across. I couldn't figure out what we were, but we were just another one coming by. Well, kids are so honest, they didn't care if it was the president or the fella cleaning the floors or the chapel speaker or Dr. Mosley or anybody else coming by. They just said, "Here's another one." Well, kids are wonderful. I love kids. Children are a challenge, and Jesus takes this object lesson with a child, and he says, unless you're like this, you're going to miss it. Now, I want to show you 4 things out of this text today that'll help you be Tony the Tiger kind of Christians. Great kind of Christians. Great kind of leaders. That's what we need. We need an army of great churchmen. And ladies to come and lead the church, and they need to be great, not only scholars, but spirit-filled. Not only do they need to have the right academics, they need to have the proper attitudes. And so I want you to see 4 simple things out of this today. Lord, who's the greatest? And he says to them, I believe at least 4 things have to be evident in your life for you to be called a great Christian. Number 1, he simply says that you must be converted. Notice the text, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you'll never enter the kingdom." You say, "Well now, preacher, you know, we're all seminary students here. I mean, you know, everybody's saved that's here." Now, friends, I've been to seminary. And maybe they were all converted. But sometimes I think we've got some folks that are running into ministry and missed first base. You've got to be converted. This word "converted" literally means to turn or twist. I talked to my youth director the other day, and I said, "Brother Dave, tell me about this particular individual." I said, "Oh," he said, "Pastor, he's turned 540 degrees. I said, "540? He said, "Yeah, he's so mixed up, I had to turn him all the way around 360, then another 180 to get him saved." He said, "Man, he was really messed up. He had to be changed." And let me tell you, friend, unless you've been converted, unless you are going away from God, and then the Master has stepped out of heaven, stepped into your heart, touched you, and turned you to go his way, you'll never be great in the kingdom until you understand conversion. Conversion is a transfer. Lost men are the property of the evil one, John tells us. And when you've been touched, saved men become the property of the Savior. So I just want to make sure today that you're converted, that you know the Lord, that you're saved. You'll never be great unless you are converted. Happened to me when I was 10 years old. Happened to my father when he was 23. Happened to my grandfather when he was 65. I ask you today, when did you meet the Master? You'll never be great until, number 1, you must be converted. But now, number 2, this text tells us not only be converted, it says then, secondly, be right. Notice the text in verse 4. "Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Humility. Do you understand our Lord's favorite saying throughout Scripture? We find it more than any other word coming from the lips of the Lord Jesus. "He that exalts himself will be abased, but he that humbles himself shall be exalted." Friend, you will never, ever mount up with wings like an eagle until you come broken in humility, waiting on the Lord. A lot of the leaders in our church would rather be peacocks as eagles. They'd rather strut like a peacock as fly like an eagle. And you know what they say? A peacock today, a feather duster tomorrow. Be contrite. Be humble before the Lord Jesus. You know, kids are so simple. Whoever humbles himself like a child. Kids, I'm talking grade school children. They're simple. And they'll just love on you. These little 4 and 5 year olds and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd graders. And you just tell them the truth and they believe it. They just believe and they're humble about that. They're not puffed up. Be careful with your scholarship because knowledge will puff you up. You'll begin to think you know more than anybody, then you'll run into Deacon Dan when you get out there. God to help you. It'll take more because he will help you with your humility. We went through a war in our church a while back. I had a man stand in a business meeting and say these words, "Pastor, you're not worth the money we pay you." He's probably correct. If you're dead to yourself, they can say whatever they want to say. If you are to the place where you are crucified with Christ, humility. "Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Humility and brokenness. You'll never be great in the kingdom till you come to the end of you and the beginning of him. Contrition, contrition, contrition. Watch this. Grace understood yields humility. When you understand what grace has done for you, you have no choice but to fall in contrition. Number one, be converted. You'll be great. Number two, be contrite, and greatness is on the way. But now number three, this text says, look at this. Be compassionate. Be compassionate. Notice verse 5. "And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." Be compassionate. Receiving the children, receiving the little ones. Now, I believe here that what the Lord is saying is that we've got to receive one another. Now, you remember that old boy that stood up in our church and said, "You're not worth the money we pay you." You know what I had to do? I had to love him. Oh, yes. Let me tell you, friend, if you'll preach the gospel and live for God, you'll have friends as well as foes. But you'll have foes as well as friends. I was having lunch just last Thursday on the day when I played a game of golf with 3 of my men. One of the guys in our congregation that no longer comes, thank God, was in the restaurant. He doesn't like me, and I'll just tell you right now, I'm just not real fond of him. Some of the things he said of me were not too bad, but things he said of my wife, "You're going to fight me if you speak bad about my wife. I'm just not going to put up with that. I'm going to hit you in love, but I'm going to be there." He said some things that just bothered me, and you know what I had to do that day? Man, I had to repent. Because you cannot hold hatred in your heart to anybody and be great in the kingdom. You can't do it. Why, anybody can love others that love you. I'm talking about those that get in your face. But when you're dead to self and alive to Christ, it's just Jesus through you toward them. Compassion, compassion, compassion. You got to speak truth, but you got to stay tender. Always speak the truth in love. Don't ever back down on conviction. You wouldn't be here at Southeastern if you're going to back down on conviction. But friend, when you speak truth, always stay tender. See, the president talks about my hair, and some people say that when you have hair that color, you can be kind of feisty. Well, I'm telling you, your hair ain't got anything to do with it. The blackness of your heart keeps you feisty. It's not a scalp issue, it's a soul issue. I have to deal with that. I can get mean as you. But the Lord Jesus won't let me. Not if you're going to stay great in the kingdom. You can't stay mad. You got to be a lover of men. That's the attitude we've got to have. And I tell you, you need it on this campus as you love one another and care for one another. You'll meet some arrogant people as you walk through these halls. Love them, love them, love them. There are some people here that have really never known love in all their life. And they need somebody to reach out in compassion and receive them, as Jesus said, receive this child. Show unconditional love, personal acceptance, teach skills, trustfully release them to be what God wants them to be, but love them. Oh, I went into outreach visitation Monday night in our place, and as I went down the hall, there was a young man. He's an 11th grade student, and he's standing there, and he had on a pair of pants that are army fatigues, and they were cut off at mid-calf. Then he had on long white socks and blood-red Chuck Taylor Converse tennis shoes and a black T-shirt with a scripture on it and a little blue bandana tied around his head. I looked at the youth guy and I said, who in the world and what in the world is that? He said, Pastor, that's the best soul winner we've got in this church. He said, he brings kids, it's just, oh, whiz, he just brings scores of kids and they get saved. And then he said, and his daddy is one of the top 10 givers in this church. I said, where can we get more britches like that? You know, sometimes you look at the outward facade and you just think, man, I can't love them. Oh, yes, you can. Jesus can through you. I'm telling you, if you're going to be great in the kingdom, you got to be converted. If you're going to be great in the kingdom, you got to be contrite. If you're going to be great in the kingdom, it's a must that there is great compassion that comes through your heart. Love, love, love. I love the story of putting the nativity scene out at Christmas in my home and my little girl. We put all the sheep and the cows and the wise men. Daddy, make sure Jesus shows. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. You know, we can get so much church stuff around, sometimes Jesus doesn't show. And when he shows, love always comes through. I tell you, seminary student, make sure Jesus shows. Amen. Be converted, you'll be great. Be contrite, you're on your way to greatness. Be compassionate. Number four, and lastly, verse 6 tells us to be consistent. Oh man, what a warning Jesus gives in verse 6. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, scandalon is our word there. Whoever causes one of these children that believe in me to stumble, it's a scandal. It's better for him that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. What a picture. Scandal. Causing a little one to stumble. Be better that you take that millstone. I don't know if you've traveled to Israel. Hope you'll have that privilege sometime. Boy, take that millstone. You say, well, what is that? Well, if you travel there, you'll see one. Got a hole in the middle of it. Jesus said, tie that millstone. Put a rope through it. Grind the mill. Grind the meal with that. Hang that around your neck and throw it into the sea. You're better off if you're not consistent to be drowned in the sea. Don't cause people to... You're only great when you're consistent. What you say matches what you do. What you do matches what you say. There's to be a consistency in your lifestyle. When you are inconsistent, you are a scandal to the church of the living God. When you're causing people to fall and stumble, several things that lead us to scandal. One is, of course, liberalism. It's in our churches. It's still alive and well. There are people who believe that. In the 70s, when I was in college, we had a young man from the hills of Tennessee that was one of the finest minds that we saw at Samford University. He embraced liberation theology, went to Nicaragua, married a young lady from Nicaragua, and gave his life to being a political activist. He laid down his Bible in order to get into politics. He's dead as 4 o'clock in the afternoon today. Liberalism cut his heart out. It's a scandal for people to go into the church and rob the church of its purest minds and souls and take them away from the Word of God to some other wicked activity. As good as you may think it is, if you've missed the gospel, you've missed it all. Liberalism will do it, but I tell you, right on its heels comes legalism. Legalism be just as bad. Lining people up and putting them in a box. Man, that's the way I wanted to do that kid the other day. You know, he didn't look like me. He didn't have cuffs on his pants. He didn't even get down to where there's supposed to be a cuff. Well, everybody's not just like us. Do you understand today? And I'm telling you, I am so thrilled, and many of you are of that generation. I'm a boomer, born between 46 and 64. But you understand, our God's not a generational God. He's a God of every generation. He's Alpha and Omega. He's Ancient of Days. He's from beginning to end. Boy, I thank God for what I see Him doing. He's beginning to paint and color outside the baby boomer lines. Thank God for that. I see Him raising up a generation in our church on Wednesday night that sometimes I'm even scared to go to that youth service. But on Sunday night, I see them coming through the baptistry one after one after one after another. Thank God for that. When we see that there's some consistency of people reaching out and not being so legalistic that you don't have to ask people to change and act like a dead Baptist before they can get in. Liberalism, legalism. God help us with this word, scandal, on the biggest problem that I see in our churches today in that regard is just simple hypocrisy. Romans 12:9 says to let love be without hypocrisy. The word hypocrisy little means to divide underneath. That is one way you're living out there, but when you go underneath or you go behind the wall or you go into closed quarters, you divide life different than you do in public. You put up a facade. You're dividing differently behind closed doors. Don't be a hypocrite, because hypocrisy will cause people to stumble. And when you're a hypocrite, it's a scandal in the church of the living God. Be consistent. And when you're consistent, God's getting ready to elevate you. Elevate you. So am I going to get a big church? No, friend, be careful what you prayed for. I'll never forget Dr. Jerry Vines. I will never forget. I heard Dr. Jerry Vines say this one time, and I was in a church out where Dr. Patterson was talking about running 200 in Sunday school. And I'll never forget Brother Jerry saying, I always prayed for a big church till I got one. Oh, my. I always prayed for a big church till I got one. 2 years ago, I'd have swapped with anybody. I'd have swapped with anybody in the world. It was the worst days of my life. I'd had 25 years, never a bad day in ministry. God began to test me in every area I've talked with you about today. I began to say, God, am I even a Christian? Oh, yeah. So, well, Lord, I need to be contrite. He began to tell me that's part of what some of this was about. Just kind of let the air out of your balloon a little bit. If you'll quit trusting you and trust me. And I said, oh, God, I don't want to love these people. I had a man ask me the other day, he said, in that conflict y'all had, how many did you lose? I said, only lost 25. He said, that's not too bad. I said, oh, it is bad. I should have lost 50. So never forget the day I came home. My wife said, what's the worst thing can happen in this? I said, and I quote, and you forgive me because this is not what I should have said to my wife, but I said, and just kind of lost, I said, they can get mad as hell and stay. That's the worst thing can happen. And then I've got to love them. And I can't do it. And I wept. And I said, oh, God. And the Lord said, I just want to teach you to be consistent when you're hurt. And so we walked through the fire. And last Sunday, Brother Page, was the culmination of my learning a lot of things. We lost 25, and last Sunday we had a second service. We were up 600 in worship in one Sunday. Where'd they come from? I ain't got a clue. Who were they? I don't know. Who invited them? A lot of people. I'm simply telling you that if you will honor God, God will honor you. Now, I'm not telling you that numbers is the way of honoring. I'm simply telling you, in my case, that was proof for me. Jesus said, look at this little child. Who's the greatest in the kingdom? The converted, the contrite, the compassionate, the consistent. Tonight in our church, there's a little girl, 5 years old. That little girl, I married her mom and dad a few years back, and she's born 4 or 5 years back, and now she comes on Wednesday night, and tonight at supper, she will come in and look around the cafeteria, and she will see me. This is hard to miss. And then she will come as fast as those little spindly legs will take her, and she will run wide open. And when she gets about 3 feet from me, she makes like Superman. And she dives. And I catch her, and I swing around with her, and I say, "Who do you love?" She says, "The pastor." I say, "Give him a kiss." And she kisses me right here, and I kiss her on the cheek and set her down, and she goes off for another week. And next Wednesday night, she'll come again. Next week, again. Jesus said, "If you'll be like those children." I tell you what we need. We need a seminary full of people diving, not in my arms. Oh, you'll get in trouble diving in my arms. We need to find the master and run as a child and dive in his arms and say, "Lord, dead to me, alive to you. I want to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, not for my sake, but for your name and your glory and your honor, both here and on the other side." I hope God will raise up this semester great Christians, great seminarians, great leaders that honor the name of their Lord. Father, thank you for these moments together in the Word today. Lord, make these to be great in the kingdom. Lord, when we do, become that you've said in Matthew 18, we know we'll be dead to us and alive to you. Give us Bible greatness, and we'll give you our glory. For Christ's sake, amen.
I'm so grateful that Brother Ted talked to us about attitude. That's the biggest single problem I ever have in my own life, and it is for many of you too. Let's make it like Jesus wants it to be, and God will bless us. He'll be here. Dr. Trader will be down here at the front for a few moments. A number of you are from that church. You'll want to come by and say hello to your pastor. Many others of you want to just come touch him, so you'll say you've done it. And so you come by and say hi to him on your way to class. And tomorrow, we're going to learn in chapel why it is that if you just do okay, you'll send people to hell in New York City. So, see you back in the morning. God bless you, and you're dismissed. Thank you.